Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Thursday morning, November 8th. And I will be bringing you another episode tomorrow morning, Friday, November 9th in the morning, previewing all of the weekend's games. With that being said, this is the time of the week where we do question and answer with the listeners. So as you guys know, every single week, once a week, or if you're listening to the first time, maybe you don't know, every Wednesday or this week, Thursday, you guys have the opportunity to send me questions. And then I will answer them for you. The questions can be on your NFL team. It could be on a college prospect, a player evaluation, something you saw on the field. Those questions always go directly to me, stevethescout81@gmail.com. You can also send a voice message on Anchor. Typically, we get around 15 questions a week, so it's usually going to be around 2, 3, sometimes 4 weeks to get your question on the show. If it's a little bit more relevant in time, so if you're asking something about the trade deadline and we're approaching the trade deadline, which we're not anymore, that would be something that I could answer for you a little bit quicker. But typically, you know, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks to get on. And again, all questions can go directly to me, stevethescout81@gmail.com. And you can also send me a voice message on the anchor.fm app. So some other things we have going on. So again, I mentioned the last two episodes that stevethescout.com, which was going to be my personal website, has been transformed and will now be pigskinnut.com. It is a hardcore football news website where we have coverage on all 32 teams, coverage on fantasy football, and also coverage on the NFL draft, scouting prospects, evaluations, and also every single conference of college football. Currently, we have around 200 volunteer writers that have you know, sent in material already. We have about 400 in total that have actually emailed us, so we just have a lot to get through. So if you've sent it our way and you haven't seen us respond yet, don't feel bad. Literally, if you go to our Facebook post, you'll see that there's over 500 likes, there's 20 shares, there's over 200 comments. So yeah, we're definitely pretty busy, but send it our way and we will review it for you. And again, what we're looking for is 2 to 4 paragraphs. You can write it on, I would say write it on your favorite NFL team. You can write about a player on the team. You can write a game preview, you know, game analysis, whatever you are most passionate about. You can send that to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Probably the easier way would be just to send us a message on Facebook. That is what everyone has been doing for their articles. They simply write it in Word, copy and paste it in Facebook, and then send it our way. So today's episode, we're going to be doing Q&A. We got 5 questions to answer from Victor Schmidt, Greg Eppelstein, Greg Collins, Don Leonetti, and Jack Percy. So we will be getting to those questions today. But as I also mentioned on our midweek show, every week is going to be a best players list. So today I'm going to give you who I believe are the 3 most talented running backs in NFL history, ranked from 3 to 1. So I'm giving you guys from a few different generations. I'm not saying these are the best running backs ever, but I believe in terms of God-given ability, these are the 3 best I have ever seen. So with that being said, you know, let's get into our first question of the day, which comes from Victor Schmidt. And Victor wanted to know, when does John Gruden go on the hot seat? Will it be at the end of this season or will it take years? I think John Gruden has quite a bit of time. Number one, you know, he has that big contract, so they're definitely heavily invested into him because of that. Also, because he's torn apart the team and he's trying to rebuild it in his image and the way he wants it to be, they're going to give him some time to do that. So I don't think he's going to be on the hot seat this year, next year. It's really, you know, if it's really going to take at least 3 to 4 years of the Raiders not playing well for him to be on the hot seat. I really believe that, because they're giving him full creative control, just like they do with Bill Belichick, where he really decides, you know, what these players, you know, who these players are going to be, and he's really an acting GM as well. If you look at Reggie McKenzie, he's literally taken apart a lot of the team that Reggie has built. John wants to build it in his image. No way he's going to be on the hot seat. And not only that, they have 5 first-round draft picks over the next few years, so they're going to give him some time to see how that pans out. They're not going to judge him too much now because they traded Khalil Mack. You know, Amari Cooper's no longer there, so again, they're going to give him some time to see how things pan out. So I wouldn't expect him to be on the hot seat for a number of years, probably at the minimum 3. Next question is from Greg Eppelstein, and Greg wanted to know, who do I think is the best quarterback in the NFL right now? I would say, you know, when you want to look at who is the overall best signal caller in the game, and I don't believe it's just this year, but I believe it's been over the past number of years, I think it's Drew Brees, actually. I know the debate is always Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, but statistically speaking, Drew Brees is better than either of them. When you want to look at being able to anticipate open receivers, Drew Brees is better than them. He has, you know, I would say equally, I would say probably overall, he's a smarter quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. He's on that same level with Tom Brady. Look, he's the most prolific passer in NFL history right now. Drew Brees, every single year, I mean, it just, you know, again, what is so impressive about him is his ability to lead receivers open, and really just his ability to anticipate, because at standing at 6'1", he can't really see over the offensive line as well as a 6'5" quarterback. So he just has over time really developed this incredible timing. I would say his anticipation is the best of any quarterback I've ever seen, because he really can't see a lot of what's going on down the field, and his eyes are always downfield. So I just think when you look at intelligence, anticipation, and just being able to make his receivers better, I don't know if there's a better quarterback in the game right now, or if there has been one over the past few years. I get it. Tom Brady has had more postseason success. You could definitely say Tom Brady is maybe the best quarterback ever. But when you look at actually, you know, piling on points and being a prolific passer, and just who can really make their offense more explosive, I don't know if there's anyone right now that I've seen, at least over the last few years, that can do all that and has the same skill set that Drew Brees does. So I think he is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. So with that being said, let's get on to starting that list and who are the 3 most talented running backs in NFL history. And starting out with number 3 is Galloping Gale Sayers. He played on the Chicago Bears in the 1960s, and Gale Sayers, he was yes, a home run threat, but what was so special about him is watching him play was like poetry. He is breathtaking in terms of the way he uses his field vision. I don't know if I've ever seen a running back that has been better at making the first guy miss in the open field and doing so in the fashion that he did back in the 1960s. Still to this day, his ability to make guys miss in the open field and his way of doing it, it's never been replicated. He had tremendous speed, but again, the beauty of his game was escapability when evading tackles. And he was one of the few guys that I've really seen that can make use of the entire backfield in such a way that you can literally reverse course, run in the entirely opposite direction, go across the numbers, and gain positive yardage and big plays. I've made a few old school Tecmo Super Bowl or Tecmo Bowl references recently, where if you remember on the old Nintendo system, you know, you could literally take a player, make him run reverse, and run around the whole field. There's not many guys in NFL history that have really been able to do that. And Gale Sayers is one of them. I would say, you know, one thing you could do is if you haven't checked him out, go to YouTube and Google Gale Sayers. I mean, it's absolutely it's just amazing what he was able to do. And again, I think he's the best running back I've ever seen at making guys miss in the open field. Coming in at number three on the most talented running backs of all time is Chicago Bears running back from the 1960s, galloping Gale Sayers. So moving on to our next question comes from Don Leonetti. And Don wanted to know if the Miami Dolphins get good play out of Brock Osweiler for the rest of the year and Ryan Tannehill doesn't come back and play, should they look at drafting a quarterback, or should they give Brock a chance to be the starting quarterback going forward? I'll tell you, I feel that I've seen enough from Brock Osweiler to know that I don't believe he's a long-term solution. Absolutely not. Yeah, he has a great arm, but you certainly need a lot more than that. His decision-making, his ability to read coverage, his ability to lead receivers into space, his anticipation, all that stuff is not very good. When you want to talk about what the standard is for a starting NFL quarterback, I think he's going to be a turnover machine. I just don't think that he sees the field really well enough to be a starter. I know he's had some success lately, but I just don't think that they're long term going to get far with him. So you look at the other guy, Ryan Tannehill. He was healthy for the first few years, but he's really struggled with injuries the last few years, and he's looked good at times. He really has. But by now, with the fact that he's been playing since 2012, you need to see at least a dominant season by now, and you haven't seen it. Do I think Ryan Tannehill is capable of having a good season if he stays healthy? I do, actually. I do. I think he's definitely the better quarterback than Brock Osweiler. You know, the question is, you know, will Tannehill be able to put it together for a full season and stay healthy to do so? Hasn't been able to do it yet. He's shown flashes of looking really good at times, but not there quite yet. And really, in terms of the Dolphins drafting a quarterback, I have not evaluated all the quarterbacks for this year's draft. I've looked at a few of them, but I can tell you I don't think it's going to be as deep as it's been in years past. I can't fully make that assumption yet, because I still got to look at all the quarterbacks. But, you know, from the, you know, four or so guys that I've seen, I'm not really seeing guys that I think are, you know, legitimate top 10 picks necessarily. So with that being said, it really depends on where the Dolphins are drafting. Also, you know, you can't be closed-minded to the fact of free agency. I think Jameis Winston would benefit well from a fresh start. I think he's a guy that could do well with another team. So another Florida team might be an option. So we'll see what happens with that. So I appreciate your question. Thanks for reaching out, Dom Leonetti. We appreciate you. And coming in at number two on the most talented running backs of all time is Raiders running back Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, through the first 500 carries of his career, when you look at the first 500 carries, there's been no one else that has had more yards per attempt per carry. I believe Jamal Charles eventually beat that, but up until he did, Bo Jackson, when you look at yards per carry through 500 carries, he was the best of all time. Maybe the best pure athlete of the 20th century in any major sport. No running back, not even Adrian Peterson, combined speed and power as well as Bo Jackson did. He's probably the fastest and the most powerful running back I've ever watched, and he had great vision. He could see the field, he could run through you, he could run around you. He was a hell of a blocker. To be the fastest and the most powerful running back in NFL history is pretty impressive. Honestly, I think if he stayed healthy and he played a long career, he could have been looked at as the best running back of all time. The only guy that I think has even really that type of acceleration or close to it was Barry Sanders, but there's still no one that was able to accelerate the way that Bo Jackson did. I think Barry was the better overall back in his prime, but because nobody could start or stop like Barry Sanders, but Bo was the best ever at combining speed and power at the running back position. And that's why he comes in at number two. And coming in at number one is Barry Sanders. I think he is the most talented running back in NFL history. The phrase, stop on a dime, really became famous with Barry Sanders. And Barry Sanders was a lot more powerful than people think, especially with his legs. The guy squatted 600 pounds. He had great initial quickness, and he was probably the best I've ever seen at making the first guy miss. I've also never seen anyone that had such effective use of the spin move and also a guy that had that much balance. You see on a lot of Barry Sanders highlights that he's almost playing limbo where his back is to the ground, but he's not down. Some of the best balance I've seen at the running back position. And I think when you just look at a pure running back out of the backfield, he's the most unstoppable guy we've ever seen. They didn't measure 40 times back then, but his 40 time came in at 4.37. I know Bo Jackson was in 4.1, somewhere around there. But what was so special about Barry is great 40 time, but his ability to accelerate on the second half of that 40-yard dash is what made him a lethal home run threat. Key attributes, again, Barry Sanders, best I've ever seen at getting the first guy to miss, was able to accelerate with elite vision between the tackles. And once he got to the third level of your defense, you are typically going to be engaging in a foot race with the safeties and the cornerbacks, and there's no DB in the league that was really able to accelerate with him. Barry Sanders is the best I've ever seen at combining start and stop ability with acceleration. And the reason why I rank him a little bit ahead of Bo Jackson was because of what Barry was able to do in the open field and his start and stop ability. That aspect of his game was better than Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson could certainly stop and start. He could certainly juke and cut and make guys miss. But Barry, to me, was on a different level than that. Combined the fact that Barry had that top-end acceleration, I think when you look at Barry Sanders or Bo Jackson, had those guys played longer, they both could have been looked at as the best running back ever. And I think some people today will say Barry Sanders is the best running back of all time. So that is my list. Coming in at number three again was Galloping Gale Sayers. Number two is Bo Jackson. Number one is Barry Sanders for the most talented running backs in NFL history. Now we're going to get on to our next question, which comes from my man, Greg Collins. So, Greg, you wanted to know, because you mentioned the other week on the show, I answered a question where I mentioned which teams I thought would be better in the second half than they were in the first half. You had asked me, are there any teams that I think will be worse in the second half than they were in the first half? The only team that I can think of that I think is going to have almost definitely a worse second half of the season are the Washington Redskins, because what makes that team hum on offense? Yeah, Alex Smith is a good quarterback, but they had a very formidable offensive line coming into the year. Brandon Scherff has developed into one of the best guards in the NFL. Trent Williams for some time has been one of the best left tackles in the NFL. You also got Morgan Moses, and all these guys are injured, so they really are decimated on the offensive line right now, which, what their identity really has been, what's helped them win games, is running the ball with Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson is still explosive. He certainly looks a lot more explosive than what he's looked in the past year or so. And I can tell you that. I saw that in the preseason. It looked like Adrian had his wheels back. But still, with that being said, with the amount of injuries they have on the offensive line and seeing how it's affected them so far, I think that is going to be a huge problem for them in the second half if their offensive line does not get back to being healthy. So, the Redskins, I really think they could take a fall from grace in the second half of the year. So, that would be the only team that I can think of. That would be the only team that I would think of that would fit into that. So far we've answered questions from Victor Schmidt regarding John Gruden on the hot seat. Greg Eppelstein wanted to know who I thought was the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Greg Collins, you wanted to know which team would be worse in the second half, gave you the Redskins. Don Leonetti, you wanted to know should the Dolphins draft another quarterback if Brock plays good? So I gave you my answers on that. The last question I have for the day comes from Jack Percy. And Jack wanted to know, Jameis Winston, if he does not play in Tampa, do I still think that he can succeed? And if so, where could he potentially go? Absolutely. I think Jameis Winston can still be a good quarterback. Yes, he has the turnover issues for sure, but there's a lot to like about him. Number one, you've seen him perform very, very well at times. A couple years ago, he was definitely one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league, maybe even a top 10 quarterback a couple years ago. Jameis Winston, despite throwing a lot of interceptions, he could still see the field very well. I get it. He's still throwing a lot of turnovers, but he has a hell of an arm, and not only a hell of an arm, because that doesn't make a quarterback. He has a lot of other intangibles in terms of how he plays the position and how players gravitate towards him that still allows him to be a big weapon on offense. He can still rack up points. If he could go somewhere where there's a really good offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach that can really groom him and help him cut down on these turnovers, he can go back to being a very good, I wouldn't say very good, but definitely a good NFL starting quarterback. Teams that I think should look at him would be the New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars, because both of these teams have talent all over the field. If you look at the New York Giants, they have multiple weapons to throw to. They have Saquon Barkley, who's one of the most talented running backs in the league. And Jacksonville, they have Leonard Fournette. Who did they just draft from? Carlos Hyde. So, I mean, you look at Jacksonville, they have really a two-headed monster with powerful running backs that have speed. And Jacksonville, they have a serviceable offensive line and a great defense. I think a guy like Jameis Winston that can really extend drives for them would be huge. And also, unlike in Tampa, if he goes to either of these two teams, he's gonna have a running game, so not all the pressure is going to be on him. Still, the New York Giants, before even getting a quarterback, they need to fix their offensive line, because if they had a great offensive line, they would have won a lot more games this year. Despite the way people see Eli Manning playing, he would have played a hell of a lot better had they had a good offensive line. So I think Jameis Winston, Jack, he can definitely still succeed. He's going to have the right coaching, but I do think that New York Giants and Jacksonville would be good destinations for him if he doesn't stay in Tampa. So, the last thing I'll mention is this. We are growing very aggressively with the addition of Pigskin Nut. I'm very busy with, the 200 plus writers that are coming on board as volunteers. Again, you can send your writing sample to stevethescout81@gmail.com, or you can private message us on Facebook. Also, as we are growing, if you've been listening to this show and you want to give us a review, it would definitely help us to do so, and I encourage you to do that. The best place to give a review is in the Apple iTunes store. So just go in there, write a review for us. Let us know what you think, and we would certainly appreciate that. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast signing off. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow morning to give you a preview of all of the Week 10 action. You guys have a great day. So long.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.